God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created our world, his world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He could have done all that. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak when we speak about the happenings in this world. But we want to remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And let us not be transformed by the things of this world. Welcome to A Disciple's View. As the voice said, I'm Todd Herman. I don't know if you're listening to the news there. I assume you were. Cedar Park Church, that was fascinating. I'm giving a speech there. They were just mentioning this church involved in this lawsuit in this separate country of Washington. And I'm not joking when I call that place a separate country. It has nothing to do with the United States of America, not any commonality. I'm going to be giving a speech there in October, October 10th. And so I'm ever more happy that I chose that church, or they chose us to let us use the church. Incidentally, there's tickets at the toddhermanshow.com/events. If you happen to be on the West Coast, you want to go do that. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 through 29, we read, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To compare this against the happenings in the world is to start, at least in this case, in a bizarre place. It is the mugshot of President Trump and what it is doing to realign politics. Because it is realigning politics, and probably permanently. This, incidentally, is not the first time that American political leader has been jailed. John Adams was a complicated guy. One of the founders of this country, one of the fathers of this country. A patriot, sure. Yes. A godly man, yes. A really paranoid and fragile human being, indeed. And they passed a law during that period of time that made it illegal to criticize his government. And he, in fact, jailed a congressman and took a hefty fee. That congressman went on to win re-election from his jail cell and to continue to contribute to this country. So there is a precedent for this form of action, but not at the presidential level. The mugshot and what it has done has called out a deep feeling amongst people that when the wicked rule, the people groan. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. There's a great sense among a lot of populations who've now said, oh, President Trump is one of us. The government hates him too. You've probably seen, if you spend any time on social media, and if you don't, congratulations, don't start. It's a dopamine fest. That's all it is. I use it for show research because I can follow thousands of people who actually do research for me. If you follow social media, though, you've probably seen the black voices, black people making videos who are identifying with President Trump. And it's because they're not silly people. They know that as a course of tradition, DC doesn't jail its own. They, like you, have seen, well, I shouldn't say they like you. I'm sure there's very many black people listening to this. Like all of us, they've seen the treatment of Hillary Clinton. And we'll prove this with a song, by the way. I don't know if you've heard this song, but it shouldn't be this easy to show how criminal the DOJ is. So finally, black people are being heard. And if you're a black person, I invite you to speak up. They're talking about, oh, they're willing to do this to a president. What will they do to us? What will they do to us? The mugshot shows a man who is being put on trial multiple times for something that countless people have done, and we could go straight through the list. We could start with Al Gore, where he started the selected, not elected chant, where he said that George Bush betrayed this country, an illegitimate president. We could go all the way back to that. We can go back to the Democrats attempting to install fake electors or working with Hollywood, trying to talk electors into voting against how their states voted. We could go all the way back to that. We're not the only ones who see this. And this treatment that the media has and the Democrats of our black brothers and sisters is that all of them, all black people, of course, owe their allegiance to the Democrat Party or to politicians like Nancy Pelosi. That's a tragic thing to say to a young black person, your only hope to succeed in this world is a corrupt old white woman in San Francisco. But the world is corrupt, fallen. The mugshot for other people says, yeah, President Trump's one of us. To farmers who've been told, you don't get to farm your land anymore because there's a river, a navigable waterway right down the middle of your avocado fields. Therefore, you don't get to farm avocados anymore. When the river was nothing but the tracks from the trail of tractor wheels filled with water. Am I exaggerating? I'm not. Federal government showed up and said, that's a river. You can't farm here. See, a farmer is saying, wow, they took my farm. I had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to court to be able to use my property. And look what they've done to him. He's one of us. There's people who, through the COVID lockdowns, which did nothing to stop the disease, as everybody in public health at the senior levels knew, they had written papers about it, don't lock down in the case of an upper respiratory virus. There's people who've lost their businesses for doing nothing more than cutting hair. There was a barber in the separate country of Seattle, a retired Marine in his 80s, still earning a living cutting hair. They decided to crush him publicly for cutting hair. And he could look at President Trump and say, wow, he's one of us. They're trying to crush him. And across the spectrum, you can look at libertarian people, people who have a distaste for Trump, and libertarian people, though, who are aware of the assault of people using eminent domain, not just to take farms, but businesses. For instance, a baker operated a cash business, and because their insurance company would not insure them for deposits over $10,000, they would make their deposits $9,099 at a time, or $9,500. Otherwise, it wouldn't be insured. That's when the federal government got in touch with them and said, you're clearly trying to dodge taxes. You're structuring. Why? Because the federal government tracks deposits over $10,000. And it was suspicious to them that this bakery was structuring their deposits. They explained, here's our insurance policy. If our driver, God forbid, was robbed, we'd hope the driver was safe, but we wouldn't get our money back if we deposited over $10,000. The federal government's solution in that case was to take their money straight out of their bank accounts and to sue the bakery. They didn't sue the people. They sued the bakery. And oddly, the bakery could not hire a lawyer because it's a bakery. It cost them millions upon millions to get hundreds of thousands back. And they can look at President Trump and say, oh, he's one of us. Which brings us to Joy Reid in this bit of audio here. This is an MSNBC personality. In fact, it is MSNBC's Joy Reid. Is she speaking here in this audio on behalf of the least of these or the powerful?
And so to me, this is justice. The fact that Manhattan didn't give him a mugshot, I thought was offensive. I thought that the Fed said, we already know what he looks like. He was the president of the United States. Okay, offensive. Everyone else had to take him. This case, and I think Fani Willis is a hero. She is a national hero because she, more than any prosecutor in this country, and I respect Jack Smith and I respect all the prosecutors that are doing this, she's the only one who said these wealthy, powerful, privileged men and women are just American citizens.
There is a black man, Joy Reid, who is still in jail. He's been denied bail. He's been denied a public defender, who has committed no violent crime. He simply is charged with arguing about an election. He's still in jail. They want him still there. Is she speaking on behalf of the least of these or the powerful? Shouldn't be this easy. It is, though. To take a song and to point to the rampant injustice of this, which everybody, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, can see. Blind people can hear. So the powerful are not heeding God's word in regard to treating people fairly. The specter of the FBI's blatant corruption can be expressed in this song.
Good morning. I'm here to give you an update on the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton. What I want to do is tell you what we're recommending. But first, let me tell you what we found. 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined to contain classified information.
What difference at this point does it make?
8 of those chains were top secret. 36 of those chains secret. And 8 contain confidential information.
What difference at this point does it make?
Everything I did was admitted. There was no law, no regulation.
Secretary Clinton should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation.
I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email.
None of these emails should have been on any kind of classified system, not even Gmail.
But first of all, nothing was marked classified.
To the contrary.
Nothing was marked classified.
There is evidence that
nothing was marked classified.
Now let me tell you what we found.
Oh my gosh.
110 emails.
It was not the best choice.
It's not that it shouldn't be that easy, and yet it is that easy. To point to that case where that man, James Comey, said no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. Why? Because she's the wife of a former president. She is a former Secretary of State. We don't do this. I had some conversations with people that were formative to me when I worked in Washington, D.C. I had a conversation with a really cool guy, such a complicated man, a great father, great patriot. One of the guys who was responsible for me going back there to work. I love this man. And I had at one point been very, very close to joining his firm. And then something woke me up late at night and I thought, wait a minute, all these cool international activities that he's involved in, taking democracy to the Middle East, and he owns an airport and a security company. Wait a minute. And I texted him and said, I need to have breakfast with you. And he said at a spot, I said, no, a walking breakfast. We need to talk outside around no one. So we're walking along in the park in D.C. and I said, you work for the CIA. And he said, well, champ, we don't talk a lot about that. I said, do you? He goes, not for. I asked that man once, and he helped elect presidents and, in fact, worked in a White House. Why don't we prosecute the criminals? Why don't we prosecute the people who are raiding our treasury? Why don't we do that? And what he told me was, champ, we have an unspoken rule here. You don't prosecute ours, we won't prosecute yours. This is because the alternative is unthinkable, that we start getting into the Banana Republic treatment of using courts because we lost elections. He's one of three people who told me the same exact thing, and they each issued the same warning. We can't cross that Rubicon. Well, we have. But that might not be anything in comparison to the Rubicon that's been crossed in Maui. And God be with those people. We'll talk about that next. This is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Thanks for listening to A Disciple's View. My name is Todd Herman. I continue to pray for the people of Maui. I continue to pray for the, well, power brokers who refuse to do the right thing. I'll fire through some headlines and then we'll go in and dig into them in detail. FEMA officials are staying at luxury hotels. The main Maui utility may have destroyed evidence. They're now claiming, Hawaii Electric is, oh, no, we turned the power lines off. People in Maui continue to speak out. Wonder if they're being heard. The Associated Press wrote a well-researched, brave piece of journalism. They really did. There was a conspiracy theory that officials had blocked the southern exit to Lahaina. That remained a conspiracy theory for about 24 hours. They did block the southern exit. There's this, that the people who obeyed that barricade died. Obeyed the officials, as it were, died. People who disobeyed lived. And all of this is coming together thanks to video evidence. But there's a continuing question on where are the children? Because the numbers we're being told in terms of kids whose lives were taken in this fire simply does not match at all the evidence, such as parents submitting DNA in hopes of finding their children. So let's start at the top. We just spoke in the last segment, asking questions about people like Joy Reid. Is she speaking for the powerful or the least of these? When she gleefully celebrates sort of a form of teenage angst, seeing President Trump put in with a mugshot. The arrest, the indictments was not enough. It needs to be a mugshot, though, as she herself points out, everybody knows what he looks like. That's been a political realignment. A lot of people who've not voted Republican have looked and said, oh, the government hates President Trump as much as they hate us. Which is why, in preparation for the show this morning, I went to Matthew 20, verse 25 through 29. Where Jesus reminds us that we are not, as Christian leaders, we're not to lord over others. We are not to seek to be served, but to serve, because the Son of Man himself did not come to serve, but to serve. And we compare that against the actions of the powerful. So yeah, it's true. Local Hawaii television has the story. They tracked this down. Breitbart, I think, started the reporting on this, tracking down FEMA officials on their laptops around the pool, enjoying drinks in luxury hotels. $1,000 a night, luxury hotels. There are FEMA trailers available for staffers to stay in. That's something they could stay in. There are less expensive hotels. There are Airbnbs. There's Air Force bases. There's a number of places that they could stay. But FEMA wants us to know that this is not what it looks like, because they're not paying the rack rate. This doesn't prove what they think it does. They're not paying the rack rate that the little people would pay. Us little people would pay $1,000 a night. But the mighty government pays $369 a night or so. So that makes it okay that they're staying in these resorts, sitting around the pool on their laptops. I don't bemoan people in a terribly hard job having downtime. It has to be an awful job to hunt through the rubble of burned children and pets and other human beings in hopes of finding a single person alive and knowing that you're not going to, and keeping track of, oh, God forgive, burned body parts. It has to be awful. They need the downtime. They have to refresh themselves, as we're to renew our minds daily in the word of the Lord. But it doesn't need to be at a luxury resort. And the $369 a night is an insult to people who right now have no homes. It could have been anywhere else, any of the places I described, and it should have been. It should be that they're on work time, not luxury time. There's this. The Hawaiian Electric Utility decided to go seize its property. This is the electrical utility that we're only learning now. They're only saying now. Only now are they saying, oh, no, no, wait, wait, we did everything right. I'll get to that. But first, they went and removed some key evidence. See, all these power lines went down. There were about 20 power lines that went down. And the island had been warned about these winds. And I've said before on the program, and I repeat myself only in defense of the people of Maui. That's the only reason I'd repeat this, because I want to make sure their voices are heard. They've been warning since 2014, the Lahaina will burn. You have to spend this $189 million so that it won't burn. That is a rounding error for any state government. Easily done through property tax or visitor taxes, as Hawaii's rolling in that, or Maui. But the electric utility decided to go destroy evidence. They hauled away fallen poles, power lines, transformers, conductors, and other equipment from a near Lahaina substation starting around August 12th. And this is according to the ATF. The ATF is there because this did not happen in a national forest, or it would be the National Forest Service that would be looking into this. So the ATF is looking into it. That's what I'm told. These actions may have violated the national guidelines on how utilities should handle and preserve the evidence after a wildfire. There are people paid by these utilities to figure out what happened. They know this. You can't have watched Quincy or a procedural crime drama without understanding you have to keep the evidence solid. Don't touch it. Don't move it. There are insurance investigators who absolutely know you don't go remove that stuff, because where it sits matters for the people who have to come and investigate this. Hawaiian Electric said, hey, guys, we took careful pictures of everything. We stored everything very carefully. Oh, okay. The same ATF that's investigating this years ago, when one of their agents named Lon Hariuchi absolutely murdered a family who had very strange beliefs, very strange. Randy Weaver's white separatism, very strange, very offensive belief to me. But he wasn't harming anybody at all. And a federal sniper named Lon Hariuchi murdered his son. And that's not even in question. He shot him in cold blood in his back, a little boy, and then shot Randy's wife. Well, that same ATF, they lost a door. Vicki Weaver, when she was shot in the head, when she was holding a little baby, Lon Hariuchi aimed through a door. That door got lost. ATF couldn't find it, darn the luck. Until years later, they lost a civil lawsuit. What do we see about agencies that lie is that they cover up. I don't know that the agency's lying. I do know that this is at best wildly irresponsible. At worst, it's an effort to destroy the evidence, to move it, to change it, to make it impossible for the federal investigators to have in its natural setting. So do I buy their explanation? Well, I want to. I don't want to bear false witness. Let's not fight for heaven using the tools of hell. But this doesn't work for me, particularly with this. All these days after the fire, this week, this 10, 14 days, I don't know how long it's been. Now, now that they have this equipment in their possession, now that the power poles and transformers have been removed, albeit carefully cataloged and stored, now Hawaii Electric says, or Hawaiian Electric says, oh, we shut off the power. We shut it off 6 hours before the poles came down. That's what they're saying now. But not 2-3 weeks ago? Wait, they're only figuring out now? How does that work? That they allow 3 weeks of statements, people indicting them for having not turned off the power, 3 weeks to go by. And now they step up and say, oh, no. Oh, we turned off the power. We all have some expertise in something I call pattern recognition. We all have expertise in what truth-telling looks like. This does not look like truth-telling to me. I would beg anybody who works for Hawaiian Electric who knows the truth to come forward and tell the truth, seek whistleblower protection, get to the media, and tell the truth. Because the Hawaiian people, they're seeing the truth. There's video evidence of those power lines. As I understand it, there's video evidence of those power lines sparking. If they had been de-energized, they wouldn't have been sparking. Like I said, I continue to follow this because I want to make sure that the people who don't have a national radio program on AFR, who don't have a podcast, which you can get, by the way, if you want my podcast, subscribe on iTunes. It's called The Todd Herman Show, or you can go to thetoddhermanshow.com. We cover this a lot. Well, things like this, and pattern recognition is what I call this. The pattern is you seized the evidence, then he came with a new story. That's not a good pattern, guys. And I'm committed to making sure that people are heard. So that was, we talked about the luxury hotels. We started with that. That's what FEMA has been doing. So what are Maui residents, U.S. citizens, doing and feeling?
Today, I haven't had any money come in. I haven't had anybody call me back. I didn't have anything. I have no idea. I lost my house. I lost my car. I lost my animals. I mean, come on, man. We're not getting anything. Till today, I still didn't get my meds. I cannot get my meds yet. My medicine was all burnt in my house. My rent money was all burnt in my house. I have no money anymore. I think Joe Biden should take his $700 and get back on the plane and go home. That's what I think. Because $700 compared to all the millions he's giving to Ukraine, why? We need it. That's why we don't understand why. We're citizens and we cannot get money. But if they're not citizens, they get gazillions of dollars from the USA. Where's our government? Fix your house before you fix somebody else's house.
This is how, like, your community, other Hawaiians you know, locals, indigenous people, is that how they feel, pretty much how you feel?
Everybody feels that way. Come on. That's why the local people stick together and we help our own people, because we know the outside people are not going to do it.
Well, there are people trying to help. And in fact, AFR has some partners who are over there trying to help. But can you blame the woman for feeling the way she does? Incidentally, just for the sake of honesty, I will tell you that we removed one word she spoke out of frustration and anger. I just want to be clear that there was one word edited out of that. Rather than bleeping it, I just removed it. It doesn't change the meaning of what she said, but for some, it would change the emotional impact that she spoke that particular word. Can you blame her? Oh, incidentally, as we talk about her and that circumstance, some of the things that we'll talk about in future shows, because it's vital that people understand this, there are 90 million Americans who are on some form of psychotropic drug, anti-anxiety, antidepressants. Those are largely made in China. What happens if, God forbid, we go into a war with China and China says, we're not going to make those anymore? What happens? National security, anyone? The Associated Press ran a terrifically sourced piece relying on the words of a lot of Maui citizens and their experience, and they have verified that the officials shut down the southern exit to Lahaina and turned people back toward the fire. The Gateway Pundit points this out, and it's absolutely true. Most of the people who obeyed officials either died of smoke inhalation and or burned to death. People who refused to follow the officials lived, largely. It shouldn't be that way, but the incompetence and the arrogance combined, that is the most brutal force in government. Arrogance and ignorance combined into one package, and it is also ungodly. Arrogance, relying on your own wisdom, choosing ignorance. The AP, in reporting this, of course, started by saying it had been a conspiracy theory, and I thank them for that. But there is this theory that maintains itself. The governments, none of them are willing to tell the truth about how many children perished. Why do we know this? Because 110 families, and this was as of days ago, 110 families have submitted their DNA in an attempt to find the bodies of their little babies. We know this because there were 3,000 kids or so served by that school district, and I think they're about 600 kids light. There's no effort to find the number of kids that died because they don't want to report this. That's my supposition. So can we just pray for the people in Maui who feel lost and feel like they're being ignored, and just pray that the Holy Spirit would touch them with the knowledge that from wherever you are, we're praying for them. We pray for the Lord Jesus to just comfort them in the way that only He can. We come back, we'll get into the Tower of Babbling, and hey, good news, there's a brand new injection for you. This is the Disciples View. My name is Todd Herman. Hey, this is Todd Herman's show. It's called The Disciples' View. I said that in reverse. It's a Disciples' View with Todd Herman. That would make me him, and that would make that the name of the show. We chose that because I spent a good long time in technology and media and working in and out of Hollywood and politics and then again technology, and got back to my first professional love of talk radio, but never until the past 3 years have I tried to take a disciple's view to all this. So as you engage in the show, my deep hope is that if this program ever makes you angry, that you will join me in taking that thought captive to Christ. Because I want very much to inform everybody of the things of this world in the way that I can, and adding my opinion to it. Obviously, that's what I get paid to do. But I never want it to be a source of anger for you. I never want it to be something that could ever separate you from God emotionally. And anger is, yeah, there's righteous anger, but we have to have anger without sinning in our anger, without wishing ill upon people. It's such a difficult thing. So know that I pray for you in that regard as we do the show, and I would ask that you pray for me as I do the show and present the news. Because wouldn't Satan love it if, as we talk about the Word of God, we have anger and rage in our hearts and a sense of coveting for justice, right? That is, hey, I covet the justice that should befall a corrupt FBI, a corrupt prosecutor, or many corrupt prosecutors, corrupt people in the media. And I don't want to get into coveting justice. I want it. I want to pursue it on an earthly level. And I want to rest, and I mean rest, in the knowledge that it has already been meted out in a perfect form. And when we are in the kingdom with the Lord Jesus, well, we're in the heavenly kingdom's within us now if we are baptized and accepted the Holy Spirit. Have you ever thought about that? That's mind-blowing. When we accept the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of heaven dwells within us. We have an opportunity to share that with others. So let's not let ourselves to decrease the effect that the Holy Spirit has on us by allowing the things of this world to drive us to anger or rage, particularly when it allows us to sin or causes us to sin or to covet justice. And here's what I mean, is to just focus on, oh, they're going to get theirs and I can't wait to watch and you're coveting. That happens to me all the time. I've started this this mantra. When I start thinking about, okay, so, but what about? I've started to say Abba, Father. What about? I find myself distracted by things of this world, people of this world, Abba. And as I'm doing this, I'm prayerful. I want the Lord to know I'm not creating a competition, at least not consciously. There can be no competition. I'm asking your help, Lord, in just making sure that you're locked into my mind, particularly as we listen to these things. Because Satan whispering in her, oh, they're never whispering in her ear, they're never going to face justice. This world is broken. You should do it on your own. We cannot fight for heaven using the tools of hell. And I do think that we have to give God his due, and always, always that, but give him his due in terms of what he's revealing. And I know that's a consistent theme of the show. I hope it doesn't become tiring. I want to give God credit for what he is revealing to us. If these are the end days, and no one knows, no one knows the time or the day, but if these are the end days, what a gift! The Lord is giving us the hardest to fail, pass fail test in history. And as we'll hear, God uses the simple things to confound the wise and the weak things to shame the strong. And we recognize and praise God for that with this feature.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
So we heard the figurehead Biden's voice there. Here is Joe Biden babbling.
Mr. President, can you say anything about the uptick of COVID cases and new variant?
Yes, I can. Matter of fact, I signed off this morning on a proposal we have to present to the Congress a request for additional funding for a new vaccine that is necessary, that works. And tentatively, not decided finally yet. Tentatively, it is recommended that it would like to be recommended that everybody get it, no matter whether they got it before.
So let's decode that a little bit. Why is it babbling? Well, first of all, just because I've worked in the field, some of the ways things like this sometimes happen is, why did that young lady get to ask that question as the figurehead Biden exited that building? I'm not saying I know this to be the case in this instance, but I know this to be the case in many cases, many instances. They go to a young reporter, would you like to ask the first question today? Would you like to be able to go back to your editors and say, I got Biden on tape. I asked the first question. And the young reporter will say, yes, please. Okay, here's a question to ask. If you do this and you ask this question, then we'll make sure that you get some follow-up time with the chief. Why am I suggesting that's the case here? Because Biden had the talking points ready to go. And quite sadly, he's a man in mental decline. Often he can't answer where he is. I don't mean to be cruel. I'm just stating a fact. The babbling itself. So Biden says that he is now wanting more money for a so-called vaccine that works. Okay, ergo, this one didn't work, right? Well, I guess he'd probably say, oh, I didn't mean that. The so-called vaccines did not work as they were promised to work, but they work the way many people think they were designed to work. If you'd asked me if I was going to be saying this, if 5 years ago you said you will be on national radio and you will say, I think these gene sequencing devices are reducing human population on purpose. I would say, you're nuts. I would never speak such a thing because that could never happen. No one would ever involve themselves in such a thing. And yet, the industrial scale abortion, the medical sterilization of teens, the New York Times stating that in Canada, the obsession now with assisted suicide for everybody could solve our climate change problem. We'll get to that in a second. So babbling. The Biden, the figurehead, said that these will be safe. Well, here's a fun fact. Pharma has stopped pretending to care. These new so-called boosters have been tested on, hold on, let me round that off, carry the one, zero humans, not one human being. And why would they? Why would they spend the money? It's the same platform. It's the same modified RNA. There are interesting happenstances going on. The FAA has come out and said, hey, we noticed that there's some pilots who are probably hiding health concerns. We're concerned about 5,000 pilots hiding things like mental health issues. Oh, and problems medical. They've known about this for 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 years, but they're focusing on it now. Why would that be? Because pilots were forced to get injected. Because 2 weeks ago, two pilots died. One was sitting, was standing outside the gate ready to fly the airplane. The other was flying it. There have been heart attack after heart attack and stroke after stroke and pilot after pilot dying. And the FAA knows this is because of the injections. So they're going to launder this to say, oh, it's they're hiding their health concerns. No, they're not. It is actually the opposite. It's the FAA that did that. There's a rule. To fly, you have to have a healthy heart defined as how quickly an electrical impulse moves through your heart. That's how it's defined. They've loosened those rules. Post-COVID injection, they've loosened those rules. So you can have a less healthy heart and keep flying. The FAA knows what's coming. And you can just connect it back. It's always the same, it seems, with these people who seem to live in the lie. The media had said that there was no indication that in Greece that there was any form of arson. In fact, they ran fact checks saying, debunked, there was no arson. Now, however, the Greek prime minister has announced 160 people have been arrested for arson. And the prime minister referred to them as arsonist scum. I've seen the number now is 179, by the way, arrested. Same media. Not excited about reporting that. But it's climate change, just like it's the virus, just like it's kids will commit suicide if they don't get chemically and surgically mutilated. And it's climate change. Here's a geologist, Ian Pilmer, explaining why climate change is a swindle.
I don't have opinions. I don't have opinions. I don't have opinions. I have demonstrable facts. These facts are validated, and these facts are repeatable. Fact number one, no one has ever shown that human emissions of carbon dioxide drive global warming.
That's your fault.
Never been shown. And if it could be shown, then you would have to show that the 97% of emissions, which are natural, do not drive global warming. Game over. We are dealing with a fraud. It's a scientific fraud from day one. We hear the propaganda that increases of the gas of life, a trace gas in the atmosphere, will bring a disaster and that we will have runaway global warming. Sorry, folks, we've known for 200 years from chemistry that it's the exact inverse. Now, I'm sure some of you tried this last night at the dinner with a champagne or a beer, and you forgot to drink it, and it warmed up, and it kept bubbling and bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. And that is the inverse solubility of carbon dioxide. We've known that for 200 years. We see it from the ice cores. When we drill into ice, we have chemical fingerprints that tell us what the temperature was, and we have little bits of trapped air. And we can show that when we had natural warming, some 650 to 6,000 years later, we had an increase in carbon dioxide. It's not carbon dioxide that drives temperature. It's the exact inverse. Another fraud.
It's not going through puberty that causes little girls to commit suicide or little boys. It's depression and anxiety untreated. It's a sin problem. It's a fallen world. It's not COVID causing myocarditis and pericarditis. It's the injections. It's not that people didn't wear masks. It's that they did. That's what made a lot of people sick. And in the Spanish flu, it actually turned out that more people died from viral pneumonia than they did from the actual flu. Because we're not meant to inhale what we exhale all day long, not to mention the moisture and the bacteria. Probably bacterial pneumonia is what they died from, not viral, bacterial. And God shames the wise with the simple things. In 1 Samuel 8, verses 10 through 17, after the Jewish people demanded a king, the prophet Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others to plow his ground and reap his harvest. Still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and his attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you yourselves will become his slaves. When that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you've chosen, but the Lord will not answer you in that day." And in what day are we? In what day are we? Thank you, God, for warning us. Thank you for reminding us that you are the one and true just king. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word, in fact, was God. And because we believe, we speak. Because God first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and telling them to do all Jesus commanded. Until you and I speak again, may the power and peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you. This has been a Disciples View. I'm Todd Ehrman.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.